Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And today, of all days, we're coming off a kind of negative podcast where we rip the NFL, but we're going to just keep the negative vibes rolling right up to the weekend. We got to talk about players that we just don't get, man. There's a bunch of them in this class. I just don't get the hype on. And I think there's some that you also will agree with me on, starting with the quarterback position and Luke Falk.
Yeah. Luke Falk, definitely a guy who I think going into the season, a lot of people saw, I guess like the completion percentage, the yards, the stats, but it's like the more you watch Luke Falk, you could watch him at a Washington State game and you could think, all right, this guy does some really nice things. He sets up an offense really well, but like take him outside of that exact offense. And I think that he starts to really crumble under different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a problem with some of these spread quarterbacks. I mean, we saw a little bit of it from Baylor, like, you know, for example, with Bryce Petty. It's like you take a guy who you like, you might like the arm talent, you might like who they are as a quarterback, but they, and I'm not saying this for all spread offenses, I don't mean to say that, but there are certain guys who it's just like they are spread quarterbacks, like spread college quarterbacks. And I think that Luke Falk, different in certain ways than like why Bryce Petty failed in the NFL, but well, I guess I can't like definitively say fail. He's still young, but still,
we're getting there. He failed.
Okay, we're getting there. I didn't, you know,
he's terrible.
But I like with Falk, it's kind of just like off script stuff, out of structure.
Yeah, be like, soft and,
like,
in the pocket.
Even out of spread, not great. And so like I'm not drafting that player above 100 for sure.
Oh. Falk is closer to being undraftable than he is to being a round two pick or a day two.
Oh,
pick.
I think so too. I mean, I'm with you there.
I mean, we saw him at the Senior Bowl. People were talking, Falk had a good week at the Senior Bowl. You know, he threw a couple checkdowns that really impressed us.
We also thought Marcus Davenport had a good week at the Senior Bowl.
We'll get to him. Every time Falk went down the field, he overthrew a guy. I went and wasn't even live in practice. We went up to the All 22 room. I think it was Kyle Krabs and I and a couple others maybe. And we were watching tape, and Luke Falk was inaccurate on almost every single throw down the field. I mean, it was crazy. Dudes were working wide open, and he was missing them. And it was like that every single day of practice. It's like that on tape. He overthrows guys all the time down the field or underthrows them. And, you know, he just doesn't have – he's just not a good quarterback. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, he just isn't good. Like, he can be – maybe he can be an average backup. I don't know. That's it, though. I mean – West Coast only, super limited, soft in the pocket. Yeah, he's smart. He's going to look great on the whiteboard. Good job. It doesn't apply to the game, though. Doesn't carry over. I'm still salty. People know about Josh Allen, right? I mean, we don't need to.
Yeah, the Josh Allen thing. And, man, we've heard this week because Kuiper released, I think, another mock draft. And, you know, he just defends the Josh Allen thing because I think he has Josh Allen going number one now to Cleveland. Or still, I can't remember if that was his last one or not. I think it has been before.
I think it was. I don't know.
But we're hearing that the talk is either Darnold or Josh Allen going number one. And the thing with Josh Allen is that, and Charles McDonald pointed this out earlier. I was reading some of his tweets about it. Like the completion percentage being overrated thing that Kuiper talks about, that, I mean, has a point. Okay, sure. But you still have to make the most out of the completions that you make. And Josh Allen's like yards per attempt is still like super low. So now you have a big armed quarterback who doesn't complete the ball with consistency and doesn't have a good yards per attempt average.
Yeah.
So like where am I getting the production from you?
Well, the real crazy part about what Kuiper said was, you know, completion percentage being overrated, like basic completion percentage. Sure, that's true. Everybody, you know, everybody who knows anything about football would agree that there's an element of truth to that. The ridiculous thing is that he said weeks ago it was the reason why Lamar Jackson wasn't a top-tier quarterback. He said he never got over 56%.
The same arguments that go on for Josh defending Josh Allen are the same ones that are negative to Lamar Jackson.
Imagine being that bad at defending your point, though. Like,
huh?
Imagine being that bad at defending your point that, like, weeks, like, right, literally 2 weeks ago.
That's the part that I don't get about, like all of it, like the scouting thing. Why are you making this so hard?
Right.
This makes me think that the NFL teams are truly like telling Kiper, like, hey, we love Josh Allen. We're going to take Josh Allen. And Kiper over here has to go, well, shoot, I mean, I want to be right. Because, I mean, let's face it. When you are that high in the media scouting community, you rarely ever have to confront your misses, right? Rarely ever. I mean, we do it on Twitter, but we're on Twitter all the time.
I mean, he said he would quit his job if Jimmy Clausen wasn't a star quarterback in 8 years.
Like, it's the same thing with Colin Cowherd. It's the same thing with everybody who's a giant media person. You rarely have to confront your misses. And so instead, Kiper just operates like draft night is like getting the test back or something. And if he is right on draft night, that's all that matters, whether the players are good or not. And that's where Kiper and even, you know, like McShay and some of these other guys are different from, say, like what me and you do, or Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino, or like plenty of other people who do the scouting, is that like we want to be right talent wise. Mm-hmm. Like we want to see, like we want to talk about the talents who are good, not necessarily the, that's why like I always talk about Nathan Shepard, because like I know that Nathan Shepard's not going to go first round, but I think he should. Like, I think he's extremely talented, so I want to talk about that. Other people don't, and that's not the reason why they scout. And so that's why all of this is so confusing for Kiper, and it's so frustrating. You have to hear him give these back and forth answers defending a point and making it an attack on another prospect. It's just, he's being told stuff by the NFL teams who are going to do stupid things, because that's what the NFL does.
Right. And somewhere along the line, we've totally just mixed up like people who evaluate talent and people who just write what they hear. And, you know, to me, one is, it's fine, whatever. If that's what you want to do, I think it's way simpler to do that. Just, you know, very easy. Anybody could do it. But
I think Jeremiah does it a good way, because like he says, I make my big board with my eyes. I do my mock drafts with my ears.
Right.
You know, so like,
but guys who don't like Kiper,
he fully states that.
Right. And I think that he honestly puts the work in, and that's why I like the NFL Network guys. Yeah. They listen to what the league has, and it affects them for sure. You have to accept part of that, but they have their own opinions on players. They have their own process. They definitely watch tape on players. I don't believe for a second Kiper does that. I don't believe for a second McShay does that. So there's your big difference, in my opinion, is that some guys are actually evaluators where other guys are just literally like reporters. I mean, that's all that they are.
You can, yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that would be in our overrated draft analyst segment.
Here's didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but yeah. There you go. Yes.
Continuing on the players we don't get portion of it. Running back position. To me, the fact that Rashad Penny is getting even mentioned as a possibility to go round one, that's not going to happen. But the fact that that's even getting mentioned kind of blows my mind. Like, I don't see a player anywhere near that on tape. You know, if you want to take a mid to late day three or round three, that's fine. Like, I can get on board with that. That's good. Like, go for it. But, man, I don't see the special traits in any way to be a top 32, top 40 type of pick. I mean, I think that's a real reach.
Yeah, the.
I mean, you don't have to dislike Penny. You could talk about anything.
No. I think Penny is fine. Like, pass blocking really worries me.
Yeah, that's a big concern.
You know, and like how, like if a guy can't pass block, and some of it's the college system, I get. But like, if you're taking a serious risk, if a guy has not shown much in pass blocking during his college career, and I get that, like Penny's time has been weird because he was behind Pumphrey and all that, and so it might be an okay projection, but if you're a feature back in the NFL, which with Penny's numbers and where he's being regarded, you would want him to be that. You can't take him off the field for passing downs. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he just, like, you can't do that. If not, then your value is terrible on the guy that you drafted there. So,
right.
That's the only part that like really worries me about Rashard Penny is, you can't take him off the field on third downs.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about Kalen Ballage too, but I think we've kind of covered that one a little bit. Wide receivers. We have talked about wide receivers very little on this show. Somebody mentioned that to me and tight ends to me the other day. We talked about tight ends then, or I did, I think on the pod I did the other by myself last week. But
we going heavy wide receivers next week?
We probably should touch wide receivers pretty heavy over the next, because there's so many names, but differentiating them has been difficult for people. But as I'm getting to the tape study, I've now done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 10 evaluations I've probably finished up now at this point for the wide receiver group.
Did you do Anthony Miller?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think of him?
I haven't finished Ridley's numerical evaluation, but Miller's going to be my either first or second receiver I would bet on based on the rest of the group and what I've seen from him. He's really good, dude. Super good. Like, super explosive out of his breaks. Really effective at separating from man coverage. Finishes in the air better than you'd think for a guy, a smaller receiver. Probably the best blocker in the class. You know, remember, he did 22 reps on the bench. He might be 5'11", 200 something. I mean, he plays like a big receiver in terms of blocking and stuff like that. So effective after the catch, he's the real deal. You know, I would take him early day two for sure. I don't know where the NFL will see him, but he's really good. The guys that I don't think is highly of, you know, and I'll get for James Washington for me has a late day two grade, one of my last day two grades. He tested, and this is what's funny to me. We flipped out about Calvin Ridley's testing when he ran a 4.440 and ran a 6.883 cone. And yeah, he had some other things. You know, his jumps weren't great. Whoop-de-doo. Like, that's fine. He's a dude that wins on the ground. That's never going to be who he is. You know, he's a guy who wins in the air predominantly. So who cares? But James Washington was the guy who had the big athletic questions coming in. And he didn't test well in anything. I mean, he tested below the 40th percentile for a wide receiver in every category except broad jump, where he was in the 49th percentile. I mean, he did everything. He did the 60-yard shuttle, the 20-yard shuttle, the three cone, the vertical jump, the broad jump, the 40-yard dash. None of it was good. So, I mean, running a 4.5/4.40 is okay, but when you're a guy that predominantly won on speed and that's how you have to succeed in the NFL, I don't know, man. You got your work cut out for you. And I think that he is a fairly nuanced route runner, but he's not a great athlete. He's not as good as people think at finishing in the air. He got a ton of targets, and some of them he came down with up against corners who had no idea what they were doing. He also let a lot of opportunities go. And so when I watched James Washington, I thought this guy could be a number two or a number three or something like that for a team, maybe a serviceable in that role, a good depth receiver. I think he can do some things from the slot. The top 50 talk that he was getting, man, I don't see it at all. I don't think he's that type of player.
And then what about Sutton too, right?
Cortland Sutton, man. People aren't ready for the heat on this one, but I have a round four grade on Cortland Sutton. Early day three grade. You know, he tested great, and that's one of the reasons why I would take the shot at him. But for a guy who played, you know, put up the production he did, if you watch some of his most productive games last year, you know, he's not working open. Like, his tape, he and Anthony Miller played the same teams. You know, I watched him against UConn, I watched him against UCF. No contest. Who was better? Shouldn't even be in the same conversation.
Wow.
I mean, that's as bad as it was. I mean, Sutton couldn't get open against the redshirt sophomore corner that Anthony Sutton Miller dusted the whole game.
Sutton was weird to me. Because I watched him at the beginning of this year, and then I watched him quite a bit for the summer scouting series that we did. And I definitely have to watch, like, later in the year Sutton, because I got to be fair to him there. But he just seemed like, it almost seemed like Sutton only ran routes that were near the sideline. Like, he either was running a nine or a comeback or an out.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it.
That's a lot of it, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of it. He'll run your occasional, your crosser, but he doesn't sell patterns. Like, he's not a good route runner at all. In fact, I would say he's one of the worst route runners that I've seen in this class so far. You know, and I still have a good number of names to go, but, you know, he did not get good grades for me as a route runner, and that hurt his evaluation a good bit, because he takes several steps to gear down and get out of his breaks, and that's a big concern. You know, there are times where I thought he honestly stopped running at the top of his routes. In times, he didn't even look back for the football at the top of his routes when he got into the open. And I was watching the route comment. I'm like, is he not an option on this play? I'm so confused. But, I mean, these are like five-step drops for the quarterback. He's getting back there. He's surveying his reads like, he's an option. He just wasn't like, and he's a really high effort blocker. In fact, this is funny because Sutton reminded me a little bit of Laquon Treadwell, and he tested really well. And Treadwell only worked out at his pro day, I think. I can't remember if he did everything or just, I know Treadwell wasn't as fast as Sutton, and not that Sutton's a burner, but, you know, in the 4.5s for a receiver, his size is a little more acceptable than a guy like Washington. But Sutton seemed like he enjoyed blocking more than he did running routes, which is really what Treadwell was. So it's a cautionary tell for me, because I like Treadwell, because I thought he did a good job of winning in the air. But, man, the more I watch wide receivers, the more I think if you can't separate,
well, that's a big deal.
If you don't get open and if you don't catch the ball consistently, yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't
know.
Yeah,
I loved Sterling Shepard for that reason a couple years ago.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, too.
Yeah,
both those guys were the best too.
just so easy with right. separation. I mean it's obvious, right? It's common sense. It you is. Can get away from a defender, you we can catch the ball
hard.
Easier.
We make it hard. We make it about size we and really length do. And speed yep. and it's not about those things, man. I mean, those All things obviously the, when, help, but
when you're playing wide receiver, length, athleticism, ability, all of it just matters via how much you could separate. Right. Because when you get to the NFL, every one of these people can catch the football, okay? You're not playing football at recess where you're like, ah, crap, I gotta pick the kid that can't catch. I'm going to throw a bomb to him because nobody's going to catch him, and he's going to go right through his hands. Okay, like
tries the breadbasket, catch it.
right. And it goes right through his hands. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Say your first curse words at that point. that's not what we're talking about here. It's all about how can you separate more because your arms are longer? Can you separate more because you're stronger and can get a good push off the line? Can you separate more because you have better speed or quicker feet or some? All of this just has to come into, and that's why, you know, when people say like, oh, the combine isn't everything, the combine's overrated, yes, and that's because people sometimes aren't able to take the combine and put that into like actual things that happen on the field.
Sutton's agent calling you right now.
Yeah.
But no, you're 100% right. And it's not only just separation in a route tree per se, it's also separation at the line of scrimmage versus press coverage. You know, a lot of people, if you said, who would you rather have versus press coverage, Courtland Sutton or Anthony Miller? They would take Courtland Sutton just based on, well, his combine probably to a degree, but also his size and his length. That doesn't... If you watch Courtland Sutton and Anthony Miller both verse press, there is no way you will pick Courtland Sutton. Anthony Miller's feet are lightning quick. He mixes up his releases. He gets off the line of scrimmage. He uses his hands better. And he's as strong as Sutton, maybe stronger. So that kind of stuff, I hate that kind of stuff where we just say, well, I'd rather have Sutton on the outside verse press. Why? Did you watch him? Because Sutton would be hung up on press coverage 15 yards down the field all the time on tape. Just was very comfortable with being hip to hip with the corner. Okay, you better finish every single freaking 50-50 ball that comes your way. He doesn't. He doesn't. And that's where I think that the difference comes. You know, Anthony Miller may not be as good in the air or in 50-50 situations as Courtland Sutton, but he's in way less of them. I would rather have that type of player every single time. So there's my opinions on Courtland Sutton.
All right, there we go.
Passionately delivered. I didn't even get to my hottest take on Courtland Sutton. I'm going to save that for when we do our wide receiver rankings toward the end of the, toward closer to the draft. Hayden Hurst, the tight end, was my guy. I don't know if you have a tight end that hasn't stood out to you at all. You know, I feel like I'm hogging the talk time here, but I don't get Hayden Hurst at all. Like, I don't even think he's that great of a blocker. You know, everybody, tough kid, hard worker.
Ian Thomas? Yeah.
Okay, so when I first watched Ian Thomas, I watched one game or part of one game right before the Senior Bowl, when I was just kind of getting a feel for him a little bit. I didn't see anything. I went to the Senior Bowl. I thought he looked super slow. He's not fast, but I watched him on tape, and I was like, you know, he's not good, but he probably has as much promise as any of the other tight ends in this class. I'm not high on the tight end class in general. You know, Gesicki's got the trump card because he wins in the air like a beast. But there's a lot of other concerns I have with Gesicki that could even affect his ability to get on the field. So I don't know. I mean, you could pick the whole tight end class for me basically to fit this category, because I like the top guys anyway that are getting hype, you know, because I wouldn't take anybody before round three. But I think that Ian Thomas has as much promise as any of the other guys. You know, I mean, right now Goddard has my top grade, and then Thomas, Gesicki, and Andrews all scored exactly the same for me. In late day two type of grades, but Gesicki had the highest grade, and then Andrews and then Thomas in terms of looking at my key traits and adding the points up there. So that's kind of how I ranked him. So I mean, Thomas tight end four right now, but you weren't a big fan?
No, I just saw a lot, like, people talk about his potential right, a lot, right. And I feel like they're ignoring a lot of stuff. But,
well, he isn't, you know, people are talking about, oh, I would take Ian Thomas, you know, tight end two. Let's take him in round two if you need one. Like, that's not how it works. Like, you could take Ian Thomas in round three if you want, but, like, if you take him in round two, you're reaching still, you know. Might be second best tight end in the class, but you can't tell me you don't have a position of need for with another player that's better on the board at that point. It just, so I agree with you that I think he's been overhyped some as this guy with all this potential, but I think he can be a solid tight end in the NFL, which is really the ceiling for most of these guys, I think. I mean, I guess Gesicki's ceiling is through the roof, but he just doesn't play like it. So if he ever plays like the athlete he tested, then we're talking about a different guy. But and Goddard tested today? No. His pro day is coming up in the next couple of days. And remember, Goddard's the unknown here because what? D2 guy, right? Or FCS? Yeah. FCS guy. FCS, right? Yeah, FCS.
Yeah.
I was getting confused. So the level of competition, bad, obviously. And they really didn't play a tough schedule. So he, testing for him is massive. I mean, it's huge because we have to see what kind of an athlete he is. He didn't do anything at the combine. And we barely saw him with the senior bowl. He got hurt like in the first 5 minutes of the first practice. So, offensive line, Brian O'Neill, Colton Miller. We're talking about these guys. I mean, they're developmental prospects. That's fun.
Athletes, but.
Yeah. We're talking about them as round one picks.
They're athletes as big human beings, and that's always going to be coveted.
Yeah. Brandon Thorne and I are actually doing a video on this at some point today that'll kind of talk a little bit about that. It's going to be up on NDT Scouting, so look out for that. But we're going to talk about why they're mid-round guys and not first-rounders, and some NFL team's going to make a mistake if they can't develop them. But those are probably my main guys. I mean, defensive side of the ball. I mean, defensive line, you look at D-line, and you look at some of the big names and the guys that are getting hype in this class. I think there's a couple guys that I could peg for this category that I don't really get, but I know you have at least one that you feel strongly about that I agree with.
Two of them. I've been not on the Davenport train for a long time.
Right.
I get the flashes. I get the allurement. But, I mean, he went to the Senior Bowl and couldn't put it together. So that tells me that there's going to be a serious learning curve for Marcus Davenport. So, plus, talking at the NFL owners meetings, it was kind of just like a very hot and cold for Marcus Davenport. Very hot and cold.
Like some teams love him, some teams are just like, don't get it.
Not even love, but I'll say like some teams like him and some teams are just like, eh, no.
I don't think, I wonder if he doesn't even go first round when it's all said and done.
Well, that's the thing is that, we're talking about guys who are overrated. You know, if you're drafting Marcus Davenport in day two, okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first round stuff is weird. And then Marcus Allen, safety from Penn State. I really, really, really wanted to like Marcus Allen going into the scouting series that we did this summer. And then kind of into this year, but it's just like I feel like he plays the safety position like back so far that he like allows catches and then comes in for tackles. And it's That's like, it. Oh, wow, look at all the tackles he has.
It feels that way, but really he's just not instinctive at all. So well, he doesn't make
that
any plays.
Just might be the thing. I mean, and that might be the reason for it. And so like he's almost like playing a strong safety role sometimes, and he's playing so far off of his guy that it's like, oh wow, he just yielded the catch and came up with the tackle. And it's like, okay, well,
I think he's good around the box, but
I need you to make an impact. You know, like I need you to not allow that catch. I need you to break on the ball. I need you to do all this. And so
he's a linebacker safety.
This guy with a lot of stats who I don't think exactly plays up to them.
Yeah, he's a linebacker safety type guy. And he does have a lot of stats, but he has like no interceptions.
That's why.
Right.
Takeaways are instinctive.
Right. And some of that is, stats can lie, but then when you look at his tape, you're like, well, this one's not lying. This one's telling the truth. Yeah, I think he has, let me look. Wrong Marcus Allen. I just looked up the running back, Marcus Allen. I was like, wow, he ran the ball too. Goodness. Yeah, one pick was last year. That's the only pick he had in his Penn State career as a four-year starter.
Yikes.
And passes defensed, 10 in his career. Never had more than 3 in a season.
Yikes.
Dude doesn't touch the football. Can't take him before round 4. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry. Defensive line guys that I want to mention real quick before we jump off. Harrison Phillips from Stanford. Think he's probably a round 5 guy.
I thought you liked him, didn't you, after the combine? Didn't he do super well?
He did test well at the combine. I gave him props for his athletic testing.
Oh, but it doesn't mean anything,
yeah,
folks.
It doesn't show up on tape. I mean, I graded it. It factored into his grade. It's one of the only reasons why he's
it doesn't, as he quote is, but unquote, show up on tape, according to John Ledyard.
That's very well said, yeah. I've said I think Daron Payne's somewhat overrated, and I think Vita Vea is too, if we're talking about these guys, If we're talking about Vea as a top 10 pick, he's overrated. If we're talking about Payne as a first round guy, I think he's overrated. I've talked at length probably about those two. Tim Settle's the guy you and I didn't get at all. Remember, he was getting round one hype, and I am not going to let people forget it when he ends up going day three. I won't let people forget it. I will not. Dude is terrible. Terrible. His tape's so bad. Yeah. People are like, he is going to kill the athletic testing. He couldn't even get through the bags. I mean, like, he was falling over.
All you have to do is look at him once and yeah, know that there's balance concerns.
That's bad, but it's also true.
It's also true. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying just, like, look at him once and then, like, put away the scouting portfolio, but...
But what you see is kind of what you're going to get.
If a guy is really wide, over 300 pounds, and has, like, narrow ankles and feet, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
He's going to fall over. And he does.
You made it sound like he was just running around in heels on the field.
Well, I mean,
wipe it out.
Well, I mean,
tomorrow's Fan Friday. We'll be back. We'll be positive. We'll be happier. I'm sorry, folks. We had to get some things off our chest, man. It's been an angsty 2 days on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. But have no fear. Tomorrow we'll be back. We'll answer all your questions. Hopefully, I'll remember to send out the tweet tonight so we get your guys' questions, because they've been really great the last couple weeks. And yeah, we'll have a lot of fun. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.